We're grateful that you tune in. And if you can't make it to church in person, what a wonderful thing. And we appreciate all of you who tune in to the message. And this week, I want to talk about your dependable friend. Ha-ha, Jesus. Yeah, he is your dependable friend. There was a Christian evangelist by the name of Chad Robichaux, and he went to Ukraine. And while he was there, he went there as an evangelist, but some people invited him then to an event in downtown Kiev. It was sort of like an open-air church event. And all around them were the symbols of destruction, damaged buildings, fearful population. But Robichaux watched in awe as hundreds of people sang praises to God with every ounce of their being and energy. And after singing praises to the Lord, the worshipers shared their testimony. One military chaplain spoke of how he had witnessed the Ukrainian forces being outnumbered by the Russians, but not one bullet hit them. They believed God was protecting them. So after the testimonies came a time of prayer. And Robichaux witnessed this remarkable worship service. And while it was going on, he thought of the conflict between David and Goliath. Then later he wrote in his memoirs, he said, there is in the city square, surrounded by hundreds of worshipers, I realized I wasn't looking for one shepherd boy who was prepared to stand up and fight. No, he was gathering a whole army of David's, everyday people, who were going to place their trust in him, no matter what the cost. I'm convinced that the world cannot withstand everyday people who place their trust in Jesus, whatever the cost. The devil doesn't know what to do with believers who truly know Jesus as their dependable friend. Now, I think that's a lesson that Jesus drummed into his disciples, because much of what he did with them was done for maturing of their faith. Look at the example that I'm going to share. He fell asleep in a boat, and his 12 disciples wrestled with the storm that was going on. You can find this in Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. It said this, suddenly a ferocious storm came upon the lake, so that the seas wept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Well, I think they had some degree of faith in Jesus, didn't they? At least I think they seemed to know that he could help them if he was awake, but obviously didn't think that he had any influence while he was sleeping. Wow, think about that. Jesus, I think, was none too happy about being awakened. And they rebuked the disciples before rebuking the storms. He said, guys, you a little faith. Why are you so afraid? And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Now, I think the words of Jesus sort of convicted me about my own sense of anxiety at times. He said to me, why are you so afraid? I found that when fear is real and tangible in me, my faith is small. And when I am afraid, my faith is weak to a degree that you are afraid of the future, maybe, or uncertainty of culture or whatever. You too need a strong faith. Now, that story in the Bible really hit home when Judy and I were on the Sea of Galilee on one of our tours in Israel. And it was just a beautiful day, and everything was calm, and then all of a sudden, a storm came out of nowhere, just like the Bible talked about. And we were told to go down into the bottom of the boat until the storm passed. But Judy, you are reminded of that song, Peace Be Still. And she said, Lord, peace be still. And the winds and the rain, they stopped, and we continued across the lake. It was an amazing thing. But I think the Lord does allow storms because those are places where we can learn to believe more fully. Remember the disciples, they were fishermen, and Jesus was a carpenter. So what fisherman would go and wake up a carpenter to say, help me deal with this stormy lake? Well, fear is not rational, is it? No, it's not logical even. Fear is not about common sense. Fear overrides all those circuits, and it makes us respond in a panic sometimes. But we do need a greater faith, don't we? We need to get to know our friend better. And when we turn the pages and we read Matthew 14, for this week was our scripture, we find a similar story, but this time Jesus wasn't even in the boat. No, he was on the hillside praying. The disciples were trying to cross the lake, but night had fallen and a windstorm had arrived. For hours they strained with the oars to fight the wind and until their muscles ached and their strength was almost gone. And then suddenly they looked up and they saw a figure walking across the water out of the darkness towards them. And they screamed, "It's a ghost!" But of course, it was Jesus. It wasn't a ghost. He shouted back three of the most encouraging short sentences in the Bible. "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." I think his voice echoed through the winds and sliced it into their heart. Doubt is very much an enemy of our faith. In every situation we choose belief or unbelief, don't we? Faith or doubt? Human nature. The world around us advocates for the latter option. Do you really believe that? But, you know, I like the buts and the if. If we know our friend Jesus, we'll say, "Yes, I do. Jesus tells me, take courage. Don't be afraid." If you had to plot your faith on a chart, is your belief in the Lord growing? Or is it static? Is it diminishing? Are you feeding it? How are you exercising it? Do you fully depend upon Him? I think those are good questions to ask when we encounter storms and face tempests in our life. Now, there's an incredible postscript to the story. Peter shouted over the howling of the wind, saying, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now, notice the faith and doubt in Peter's words. "Lord," you know, the buts and the ifs, "if it's you." Now, Jesus must have smiled and thought to himself, "Oh, I know how this is going to end." But he simply said, "Come." In verses 29 through 31, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you a little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Wow, the important thing was the trajectory of Peter's faith. It was little, but it was growing. When we see Peter later in the book of Acts, his faith was audacious. It was strong. And at the end of the Bible in his epistles, Peter must have drawn on his own experiences as he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, "These trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Christ is revealed." Jesus uses all kinds of things, including trouble and tempest. He said, "In this world you'll have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world." So we have to develop our faith and dependency on Him. So when we look at Him and keep our eyes on Him, our faith grows. We can walk above the circumstances. When we look elsewhere, we find ourselves sinking. Why? Then, when we would play with the occult or maybe dabble with the evil spiritual forces, refuse to forgive others, harbor anger, or just choose immorality. Wow, think about that. We are people who have a choice, don't we? But I love the buts and the ifs. When we keep our eyes on Him, even in the storm, we can grow in belief. Jesus is dependable. He's unfailing. He's our rock, the rock of our salvation. So as we see more and more of our friendship through this whole series of developing Jesus as your friend, we grow stronger and stronger. And I hope and pray through this series you're finding your confidence in His dependable nature will increase. Your trust in Him will mature. Even in the middle of the warfare of this world, amidst the bombed out lives of humanity all around us. Thank God we live in America and we're still safe, but boy, the world's in turmoil, isn't it? There's wars and rumors of wars everywhere. but everyday people like you and I who placed our trust in Jesus, no matter what the cost, we too can be an army of Davids, unafraid of the Goliaths who roam with this earth. So I want you to know this Jesus that way. And that's the reason we're doing it. I want you to know that Jesus is your friend. And he is there to help you all through. There's a new country music song that came out. And I ran across it the other day. And it was like, oh, I need to listen to this. And it was really cool. And it's simply entitled, My Friend Ken. And he goes into a whole litany of things that we can't do. And then the little key line in the song says, but my friend Ken, your friend Jesus and my friend Jesus can be an instrumental part of your life. Because the world says you can't do that, you can't do this. But if you accept Christ in your life, Jesus said, yes, I can, and I will help you. And as you continue to develop that relationship, you'll say, oh, I don't think I can do this, but my friend can. I hope and pray you know him in a personal and loving way. Simple prayer for simple people. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. And then all the stories in the Bible are helping me to develop that thing called faith. And then you said, but when I go, which he did, he's not here in the physical sense, I'll send one greater than I, which is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will help us develop that friendship that we have with God. You know, God said, I want to be your friend. That's why I'm sending my son. I want you to develop that relationship through the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you for tuning in to the message today for the Bethel United Methodist Church. And just learn to know that you can depend on your friend Jesus for all things in this world, plus the fact that he guarantees you eternal life to be with him forever and ever and return with him when he's coming back soon. And we will return with him if we happen to go to be with the Lord before he comes for us to set up his kingdom. Wow, what a promise. Eternal love and an eternal friendship with God the Creator.